Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Amen. Well, does healing endure forever? Well, you know, it's interesting. If you look in the Word of God, many times people came to Jesus for healing, but they cried out for mercy. They cried out for mercy like blind Bartimaeus. He came to the Lord and he cried out, "Thou son of David, have healing on me." No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, "Have healing on me." He said, "Have mercy on me." And Jesus said, "Well, what do you want specifically? What may I do for you?" He said that I may see. I want my sight back. I want to be able to see. Jesus said, "According to your faith, let it be done unto you." Notice that. He cried out for mercy. But what did he want? He wanted healing. He really wanted a miracle. Creative miracle there in his eyes. That's what he was asking the Lord for, and yet he said mercy, because healing, divine healing, is God's mercy. Divine healing is God's mercy. So, his mercy endures. Is healing his mercy? Huh? Healing is mercy, isn't it? So then, healing endures forever. It hasn't gone out. It hasn't ceased. God is still in the mercy business. If he's still in the mercy business, he's still in the healing business. How do people miss these things? You got to be listening to the devil to not get this. Right? I mean, I'm telling you, whole denominations, big portions of the body of Christ, don't believe that healing is for everyone all the time. And yet you ask, well, is mercy for everyone all the time? Is mercy for everyone all the time? Does God want to give mercy to all? Yes, and healing is his mercy. Healing is a manifestation of his mercy in our bodies. So if his mercy endures forever, healing has not ceased. God is still in the healing business, and his mercy, his healing, is for all the time. See, it's all this religious thinking that has clouded people's minds. We were hitting on a bunch of it at the beginning of the service last night. Just hitting a lot of this religious thinking that the enemy has successfully gotten in to many Christians' minds so that they are not receptive. They're not receptive. They're not in a position to receive and walk in God's will for their life because they believe all these lies. And meanwhile, when you really look at it, it's very quite easy to see. It's all over the Word of God. Healing belongs to us. Healing belongs to us. Over in the book of Hebrews. Why don't you turn there with me right now? Hebrews chapter 1. And actually, once you find that, let's go to Hebrews 11 also. Hebrews 1 and Hebrews 11. And we'll start in Hebrews 11. It says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." It's talking about the universe, all the planets that are out there, the worlds, all the different worlds out there, our world and all the worlds. We can say your world. You know, each one of us can be living in our own world. Is that right? We each have our own little world that we live in. Well, notice this. He says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made of things which are visible." So everything that is visible first was invisible. Everything that we see came out or came forth from the unseen realm. And it happened by faith. Well, who did this? Who framed the worlds? God framed the worlds. God framed the worlds. Amen. He framed the world by what? By his faith. By his faith. So God is a faith God. God does what he does by faith. So he's not unreasonable in expecting us who have been created in his image and likeness to live and walk and function and operate by faith. How many people want to walk in the footsteps of God? Well, we can when we're walking by faith. By faith and not by sight. Over in Romans 4, it says that God is a God who calls those things that do not exist or cannot be seen. He calls it as though it does exist. As though it is seen. See, God sees the unseen before it's seen. And that's how you and I to live our life. We're to see the unseen before it's seen. That's living by faith. That's walking by faith and not by sight. That's walking by faith and not by our feelings. We live in a world that's governed by people's feelings and what they see. But you and I are not to live that way any longer. Now we're to live by faith. Our world is to be governed by what God says. We believe what God says. We believe his word. We believe his word. The worlds were framed by the word of God. And this was done by faith. The worlds were framed by the word of God. Now notice over here in chapter 1 verse 3. Talking about Jesus. It says, who being the brightness of his glory, of the Father's glory, and the expressed image of his person. That's who Jesus is. He's the brightness of the Father's glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Notice that statement, upholding all things by the word of his power. So God, by faith, caused all things, the worlds, to be framed by his word. And the Bible tells us that the world is being upheld by the word of God's power. Everything's being upheld by his word. So therefore, your life has come forth because of the word, and your life is upheld by the word. Now, last night, we were emphasizing the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And man, wasn't it powerful? I mean, just so awesome. And what a flow we had of the Holy Spirit moving through Jean, the anointing upon her, the words of knowledge, the prophetic utterances, and the healings that took place in people's bodies. And I'm looking forward to getting all the testimonies on that later on. Thank God for the anointing, the power that destroys yokes and removes burdens. This is available to you and I. And we need to understand it. We need to have faith in that anointing. We need to recognize when that anointing is moving so that we could tap into it and receive from it. And last night I talked about how we need to learn to defer to the greater or stronger anointing. In fact, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And notice here in verse 28, it says, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teacher, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. It goes on, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Then it says this, verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Notice that, earnestly desire the best gifts. Another translation says greater. The greater gifts. When you look up the word best, it can also mean stronger. The stronger gifts. And again, when we're talking about these gifts, we're talking about anointings. The anointings of the Holy Spirit. There are different anointings for different things. And he says, earnestly desire the strongest. Earnestly desire the best. Well, what would be the strongest? What would be the best so we can earnestly desire it? Why doesn't it just tell us? Why doesn't he just tell us right there, earnestly desire the strongest gift of? What is it? How many people think they know what it is? Don't answer, because you don't probably. Earnestly desire the strongest gift. Well, what would that be? Well, that would be the gift that would be best for the moment. That would be the gift that God would desire to be used at that moment. It's not that one gift or one office is greater than another in and of itself. It's not better in and of itself. It just fits better in different places at different times. So we knew by the Spirit of God, you know, you pray and you get the heart of God on things and he reveals it to you. And he showed us what the greater was for last night. Last night, I preached the word by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I knew I was supposed to preach the word. Well, I preached the word, and how many people know there's healing in the word? There's healing in the word. There's healing in the preaching of the word. People can get healed. People can get delivered. People can get set free through the preaching of the word because it is anointed, and the anointing destroys yokes and removes burdens. I'm telling you right now, as the mouth is moving, yoke-destroying, burden-removing power is flowing. Yeah. We need to understand that. This isn't just something tickling our ears and feeding our intellect. There's an anointing flowing every time the preaching of the word is going forth. We're not just talking the word. We're not just sharing the word in our own strength. It's all being done, not by our might, but by his power, by his spirit. And so it destroys yokes, removes burdens. So you could be getting set free while you're sitting there. If you're dealing with anything, I mean, don't just sit there and wait for, you know, something else to happen. I mean, it's happening. It's happening. Happening right now. The preaching is going forth. So we knew that's what, that was a part of what God wanted to do last night. Then we knew that he also wanted to flow through the word of knowledge and through the gift of healings. We also want to do it. Now, I could have gone on and I could have just continued to preach through the whole service. Or we could have done some other things. I could have not preached. I could have just sat and taught line upon line. The word of God, we could have gone that direction. We could have gone different directions, but what would be the greater? What would be the best? What would be the strongest? What would have the strongest anointing and the greatest impact? Well, that would be the one that the Spirit of God would want to use at that time. That's why there is no particular one mentioned here. It's whatever works at the moment, whatever the Spirit of God would lead you to do at the moment. That's why in everything we do, we want to be led by him. We just don't want to do our own thing. We want to follow his instruction because we want his best. And there's a purpose for every time we come together. There's a purpose for this morning. There's things he wants to do and a way he wants to do it. And we believe we're following that way. So there's all these different methods, as we looked at last night, all these different ways the same Spirit of God works through different people at different times. And so we don't want to limit God to just one way. And yet, again, so much of the body of Christ, they have fallen into this. They have fallen into just limiting God to one way or maybe a couple ways of doing things. But there are many, many different ways God can flow and move and do things. And so if we'll flow with him, we will have his best. We'll walk in the greater. Praise God. So there's different anointings that are greater at different times, stronger at different times. But then there's one thing that is more sure than any anointing or anything else. And that is the word of God. That is the word of God. Turn with me over here to 2 Peter chapter 1. How many people know the disciples had some amazing experiences when walking with Jesus? Amazing experiences. One time, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and went up a mountain. And when he was up on the mountain, as he was praying, a cloud came and enveloped them all. And then this cloud was the glory of God. It was the manifested awesomeness of God. And the disciples were kind of tired, I guess, from climbing the mountain. They seemed to be tired a lot. And meanwhile, the glory's filling this place. The glory's filling this place where they are. And then a voice comes out of the cloud and speaks and says to the disciples, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." And so, I mean, they hear this audible voice of God coming out of this glory cloud. Jesus is just glistening with the glory of God. He became just pure white, glistening with light. And the disciples, when they were fully awake, they saw his glory. They heard this voice. And then notice what it says here in 2 Peter. Peter is referring back to this. And he says in verse 17, "For he," talking about Jesus "received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." We heard this voice. We saw this anointing. We saw this manifestation of the Spirit of God with our own eyes. Then he says in verse 19, "We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So notice here, he's referring to, when saying the prophetic word, he's referring to the Scriptures. He's referring to the Bible. And he says, man, we heard this voice, the voice of the Father speaking out of the cloud. And yet he turns around and says, but we have today, we have a more sure word. We have a more sure word, which you do well to heed. Everybody say more sure. Yeah, that when it says more sure, when I looked that up, more sure, it means more stable, steadfast, firm, trusty. Basically, God's word is more constant, persistent, solid and predictable than a special manifestation of the Spirit of God at a special time. Special manifestations have happened at special times. You can't always depend upon them. They come and they go. But the Word of God is more sure. It endures forever. And it is all the time, all the time. It is predictable. I don't open up the Word wondering what it's going to say today. No, I know I can turn to things and I know exactly what will be there. Because it's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And I got news for you. God's Word is alive. God's Word is just as real as God, because God and His Word are one. When you mix faith with the Word of God, you are connecting with God Himself. You're connecting with the power of God, the Spirit of God Himself, when you mix faith with the Word. And the Word you have all the time. So we thank God for moves of God. Thank God for moves of God. I'm expecting a big move of God to hit America. Just a big move of God, you know. I mean, the glory cloud is showing up. The fire is appearing. People are being overwhelmed by the presence of God. They're hearing voices. They're seeing angels. I mean, God's moving. The river is flowing. The power of God is manifesting. I'm expecting that to happen here shortly. I'm expecting a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a move of God. Amen. Thank God for a move of God. But understand this, that that is unpredictable. We're hoping for it. We're praying for it. We're looking to the Word of God and saying, God, you promised these things, and these things can happen. And so we just thank you for it, Lord. We're believing that you are going to manifest in a great way by your Spirit. We're going to see people anointed of you operating in the fullness of the anointing of that office that you have appointed them to. We're going to see tremendous things. We're going to do the same works that Jesus did and even greater because of these greater anointings that are coming and manifesting more and more and more. So we want a move of God. But at the same time, you and I can move on the Word anytime. Anytime. We can move on the Word anytime. Now, a move of the Spirit is unpredictable, but moving on the Word, that's up to you. And I got news for you. The Word is healing. The Word is miraculous. The Word is power. It is the power of God. And so we could just plug into that and access that anytime we want. Psalm 107. Let's go there. Psalm 107. Well, does that eliminate the anointings? The various different manifestations of the Spirit? No. See, isn't God good? He's given us all manner of ministries and operations of His Spirit to help us get what we need, to get us to operate and function over in abundant life. He knows some folks have issues, and some folks' issues are different than other people at different times, right? So He knows where each one is at, and so He doesn't just sit there and say, just believe the Word. No, He also has given us ministry gifts that'll minister to us through words of knowledge, words of wisdom, healings, working of miracles, the laying on of hands. Oh, and Jesus did it all. There was one gentleman that sent for Jesus to come because his servant was dreadfully tormented and about to die. He came to Jesus, and Jesus said, all right, I'll come and heal your servant. And he said, no, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. No, Jesus said, I'll come and I will heal him. I'll lay my hands on him. I'll grab him. I'll pull him up. I'll do whatever I got to do. It was a Roman centurion. And he said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. He said, only say the word and my servant will be healed. Yeah. Only say the word. That's all. I don't need you to lay hands. I don't need any special manifestations. Just speak the word to me. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And that's exactly how his servant got healed. Just by the word of God that Jesus spoke. Well, bless God, we've got the word of Jesus right here, don't we? I said, we got the word of Jesus right here. So we don't have to say, Lord, just speak the word. In fact, I did that one time, once. I mean, I was dealing with all kinds of crazy symptoms in my body. And the devil was telling me, you know, what it is. And he's a liar. And so he's telling me all these things. And the symptoms would go away. And so, you know, I would, I'd get ready to minister. The Lord would show me exactly what to minister. I mean, he'd speak that to me. I'd know exactly what to minister. And there were things like that the Lord would speak to me about. But he wasn't talking to me about these symptoms. And days and weeks and, I don't know, might even been months that went by. And I was still dealing with these symptoms. So finally, just one night before going to sleep, I was lying on my bed. And I said, Lord, I said, you talk to me about messages and everything else. I said, talk to me about these symptoms. I need to hear from you about this. And I fell off to sleep. Well, I was somewhere between earth and La La Land when all of a sudden the Spirit of God spoke in my spirit. And he said, you have a more sure word that you do well to heed. And I could even tell you how that voice sounded. It sounded so disappointed. It sounded so disappointed. He was quoting the scriptures to me. Here I'm saying, Lord, I need to hear from you. And he said, you have a more sure word. You have a more sure word. What do you want to hear? I've already given you my word. I've already given you my word. You have a more sure word. And at this point, you should know that. And I had woken up as soon as I had heard that. And I said, oh, Lord, forgive me. Here I am standing up preaching your word, telling people what you're saying about healing, telling them what you're saying about health, and then I'm lying in bed saying, oh, God, I need to hear from you about these symptoms, when he's already spoken to me about them. He's already spoken to me about them. So I repented and, bless God, just got my faith back on the word rather than waiting for a move of the Spirit, rather than waiting for a special manifestation, rather than waiting for God to do something special, which could happen, but it might not happen. You never know. It's unpredictable. But, oh, thank God, what he says in his word is the same all the time. All the time. God's word is predictable. God's word is persistent. And I've learned that you know, sometimes symptoms will persist. You say, I'm believing the word, and the symptoms keep coming.
So why is it still coming?
What's happening? Why are the symptoms persisting? Well, I got good news for you. If you go back to the Bible, like 1 Peter 2:24, where it says, by whose stripes? By the stripes of Jesus, by the wounds on Jesus, you were healed. I got news for you. If you go to 1 Peter 2:24, you'll find that it's still saying the same thing. It's just as persistent. And I tell you what, it's more persistent. God's word, his written word, is more persistent than the devil's words and the devil's lies and the devil's symptoms. You can wear the devil out, but you'll never wear God out. He says you were healed. So even though symptoms might persist, you come back to the Bible and say, yeah, but God's word persists. It's kind of like an arm wrestle. Who's going to win this thing? Well, the enemy's persistent. He's persistent, you know. He's persisting. You know, this is an arm wrestle. You understand what I'm doing, right? He's persisting. But God's word is more persistent. And if we just stay here long enough, eventually, the enemy's going to go, I can't take it anymore. Because the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. And sometimes you have to resist for longer than just a few seconds. Sometimes you have to resist a little bit longer. That's why the Bible says, by faith and patience, we inherit, we possess, we lay hold of the promises of God. Faith and patience. Sometimes we got to add patience to our believing. God's word is patient. God's word is unchanging. God's word is the same all the time. Oh, hallelujah. You can move on it anytime and thus have a move of God anytime. We can have a move of God right now just by moving on God's word. What do you mean? Acting on God's word. Act on his word and you can have a move of God. So, but now that doesn't do away with the cloud coming, the rain coming, huh? Special manifestations happen, words of knowledge happening. I mean, one time I was dealing with, it was my hip. It was really bothering me. And so I'd take one shoe off and sometimes walking around here with one shoe on and trying to get things balanced out, you know. And that was going on for a little while. And I was believing the word. I was persistent in the word. And then we had a guest minister come in, and he had a word of knowledge. He had a word of knowledge concerning a hip. I jumped right up on my feet, so I'll take that. Bless God. What's that? It's the Lord helping me. The Lord helping me. Praise God. So I just grabbed a hold of that, and thank God, that was the end of that. He laid hands on me and blessed me in the name of the Lord. I received that anointing. I received that word, that anointed word from God. And a special word will generate special faith. You know, there's faith that comes from the written word of God, but then you can have special faith that comes from a special word from God, from a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. And so with that special word, it just was like a booster shot to my faith. It put special faith on top of my faith. And boom, we were done. That was the end of that. Hallelujah. That thing just left us that quick. Amen. And then when it tried to come back, no, my faith was still there. And just said, nope, can't come back. And I just resisted it. I resisted it. And it was easily to resist. Because I had already experienced the healing. It was done already. So now resist, say, no, you can't come back, was a whole lot easier. You understand that? So thank God. See, so we need all of it. I'll take all of it. Hallelujah. We need all of it. I'll take all of it. But oh, thank God, the more sure of all of it is the word of God. Psalm 107. And in verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Now, most folks know that verse, but let's go back and put it in its context. Let's go back to verse 17. It says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquity, were afflicted. They were fools. They were stupid. They did the wrong things. They said the wrong things. They lived the wrong way. They weren't doing things God's way. And as a result of that, they became afflicted. Not afflicted by God, but it's strain from God that will enable us to get afflicted by the enemy. The enemy can afflict us when we get off the path that God would have us walking. And so it says in verse 18, their soul abhorred all manner of food. And they drew near to the gates of death. They got to the point they were so sick, they abhorred all food. They just didn't want any food. And it wasn't just physical either, which I won't get into right now. There's some other things here. But it says their soul abhorred all manner of food. In other words, this sickness was in their soul. The sickness wasn't just in their body. It was in their soul. Have you ever felt so lousy that just the thought of food started making you feel, ooh, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. Well, why would saying it bother you unless it was a mental, emotional thing? That's not physical. Somebody saying something about, fudge or something. I think about that because when I was little, I remember when I was little, I was at my aunt's house and I was sick as could be, and she was making fudge, and it was horrible. So now I just didn't want to smell that fudge, But sometimes, it's bothering you because you're thinking, when you think about it, see, that's not just physical. See, that's gotten in deeper. It's gotten deeper. So he says, their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them. Praise God. You cry out to the Lord, Lord, you got to help me. You got to help me. And many times, he just sends his word. He says, go to church. I can't. I'm too busy. I'm too this. I'm too that. Go to church. Hear the word. I've got a word I'm going to send your way. Lord, I need help out of this situation. I need help. We're in a crisis here. The word. Go to the word. Go to the word. We are to be word people. Say, I'm a word person. We're to be word people. Everything is about the word. That's what we're to be all about. Proverbs chapter 4. Somebody say, I love the word. You need to love the word. Praise God. Proverbs the 4th chapter. You're to be a word person. Proverbs the 4th chapter. And in verse 20, he says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Because this is going to keep you from doing something foolish and getting off the path and not having God's best. It's going to keep you from getting afflicted in the first place. God's word will keep you. It won't just heal you. It'll keep you from getting sick. It'll keep you from being afflicted. But That's only if we keep it in front of us all the time. He says, verse 21, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. What is health to our flesh? The Word. Everybody say the Word. The Word is life. It's health. Actually, when you look up the word health there here in the Hebrew language, it means healing. It means a medicine. The Word is a medicine, a cure, a remedy, deliverance. That's what this word health means. The Word is life to those who find them and a medicine to all their flesh. God's word is medicine with no negative side effects. Praise God, you can't OD on it. There's no overdose. There's nothing in here. There's no small print that says, this will help your kidneys, but it may destroy your lungs. There's nothing in there. No negative side effects. Do not feed on this medicine too much. It could kill you if you take too much in one day. You don't want to be a fanatic. Because if you're a fanatic for the word, you'll be unhealthy. No, there's nothing like that. The word is life to those, and it's medicine that you can ingest 24-7, 7 days, 24-7, yeah. That's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You could just keep receiving that medicine. Glory be to God. Amen. Just keep it dripping, you know. Just keep yourself plugged into it, you know. Just put it up there, hanging up there, you know, on the rack. Plug the wire into your wrist there and just sit there, man. Drip, drip. And what's happening? Oh, it's going in there. It's going in there. What's it doing? Life, life, life. What else? Healing, healing. A cure, a cure. Hallelujah. A remedy. Oh, hallelujah. It's fixing things. It's fixing things in my body. Woo, praise God. It's going even deeper. It's fixing my soul. It's fixing my mind. It's fixing everything about me. It's working. God's word works when you work the word. But if you don't work the word, if you don't plug into it, if you don't keep the dripper going, then how can it work for you? Just like medicine. If you don't use the medicine, doctor gives you medicine and you never use it, you just keep it in the medicine cabinet. This is the medicine cabinet, the medicine case. You keep your medicine in the medicine case. And you don't go in there and behind the mirror, reach in and take some of that medicine. You just leave it in there. It's not going to do a thing for you. Not going to do a thing for you. Your life will not be upheld. You're not going to experience the life that's in the Word unless you get the Word in you. I said you got to get the Word in you. Now, people treat Fox News and all these other news stations like it's medicine. I mean, they take it regularly. You can't miss what's going on in the world. We got to be up on the latest, late breaking, now, happening now, happening now, late. We got to have it, got to know what's happening now. And meanwhile, a lot of that stuff is not good for you. A lot of it can be negative. You got to really watch how much of that you put in. And people do it religiously. They do it daily. They got the newspaper right there every morning, sitting there on their driveway. They go out there diligently before the sun comes up. They pick up their newspaper, put it under their arm, run in the house. And they're so diligent. They're so diligent. And there's no, like, read through your newspaper in a year program. They don't need it. I mean, they don't need anything to help inspire them to read their newspaper. And they know everything that's going on. They just flip through that thing, flip through that thing. Religiously. And yet there's no healing medicine. So much of it is vanity. So much of it is vain. So much of it is just puff and smoke and fake and not even real. And it's all just passing away. And yet the word of our God, the good news, endures forever. And when you put it in you, it is doing something to you. It is putting life in you. It is putting healing in you. It is teaching you and guiding you to stay off the path of the destroyer and to walk free of affliction. Hallelujah. We need to feed on the word. Some people look at Facebook like it's the Bible. They would miss. They got to know everything that's going on in Facebook. And yet they never get their face in the book. Get your face in the book. Don't be a fool. Get your face in the book. That is what we're supposed to keep in front of our eyes, in the midst of our heart, continuously. Isn't that what he said? Don't let them depart from your eyes. He wasn't talking about Facebook. He wasn't talking about social media. He wasn't talking about your iPad, your iPhone with your text messages. People make sure they don't want to miss anything. That they don't, don't miss this. In all you're getting, get God's word. Turn to somebody and tell them, in all you're getting, get God's word. So if you're going to be religious about all this other stuff, you better make sure you are extra, extra diligent with the word of God. Because if you can do it with these other things, you can do it with the word. But if you just do it with the other things and you don't give the same attention to, at least the same attention to the word of God, you fool. You fool. And what happens to fools? They get afflicted. They get afflicted. I don't want to be afflicted, do you? No, I want to get healed and I want to stay healed. I want to live a healthy life. And thank God we can live a healthy life. I got news for you. We can get healthier and stronger as time goes on. Now, I'm going to renew your mind big time right now. I got a Brillo pad in my hand right now. You listen to me. You can get healthier and stronger with age. The world ain't going to tell you that. The devil ain't going to tell you that. The body ain't going to tell you. But that's what God will tell you. He said, your youth will be renewed. Your youth will be renewed like the eagles. You will go from strength to strength. If you feed on, if you believe that is medicine that puts life in you, and we're not just talking about a spiritual life. It's spiritual life he's talking about. It has nothing to do with you physically. It has nothing to do with your body. But he said it's health to your flesh. That sounds body. That sounds pretty body. Are you with me? Is the word medicine, is it health to your body? The CSB translation says, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. God's word. Life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. The CEB translation. They are life to those who find them and healing for their entire body. Now, if we believe this, when is a good time to get sick? Well, when you get past the age of... Well, when you get to be this certain age, you know, and this begins to break down, this begins to happen, we begin to become vulnerable to all kinds of things. I mean, we're told this all the time. But that's not what God's telling us. God's telling us, no, if you keep feeding on the medicine of my word, you keep putting medicine in you, no sickness will come near you. No sickness will come near you. It's because the word is health. It's healing. It's medicine. Life keeps you healthy, keeps you healed. Until what age? Until what age does God's word keep you healthy? When does it stop? When does it start losing its power? When does it stop failing? When you get to be 80? And it's not, you know, you can't expect the word to do much once you hit 80. I mean, the word starts losing its power, you know. The word never loses its power. You will lose your power apart from the word. But the word never loses its power. So if you keep yourself plugged into the word, then you will have supernatural strength and power. And your strength will be renewed day by day. I knew that was going to be hard for you, but it's true anyhow. The CJB translation. For they are life to those who find them and health to their whole being. That's spirit, soul, and body. CEV, knowing these teachings, will mean true life and good health for you. Somebody say, the word is working in me. Yeah. See, because the word is not just God's truth. It's God's touch. God's word is his truth and his touch. We got to be touched by the word. The word needs to touch us. Not just tell us something. It needs to touch us. It needs to have a transforming work on us. That means something is happening. Something's working on us. Yeah, it's the touch of God. It's the hand of God. It's the Spirit of God. So God's word is the truth, and it is his touch in our life. Glory be to God. Isaiah 53, 4. I want to read this to you. Isaiah 53, 4. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. This is repeated in the New Testament over in 1 Peter 2:24. He quotes this verse, and he says, concerning Jesus, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You were healed. But back in Isaiah 53, I want to read it from the Amplified Classic. It says, surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. Who has? Jesus. What did he do? Surely, surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as with leprosy. People looked and they thought, well, he's just under the judgment of God because of his own sins. But no, he bore our sins in his body. He took our infirmities. He took our sicknesses upon himself. He took our sorrows. How many of you know sickness causes a lot of sorrow? But Jesus took our sorrow, he took our grief, he took our pain, he took our sicknesses, he took our diseases. Man, he took it all. He took it all so we don't have to take it. I said, we don't have to take it. I'm just not going to take it. Have you ever said that? I'm not going to take this. A lot of folks, they put their foot down about it. I'm not taking it. That's how we need to be about the word. Jesus took it. What he took, I'm not taking. He took it as my substitute. He took it in my place. So I'm not taking it. Somebody say, we're not going to take it anymore. Just don't take it. Just don't take it. Well, I think I'm taking the flu. Why would you do that? That is, Jesus already took it for you. I'm not taking it. I'm not settling for it. I'm not going to put up with it. What are we going to do? We're going to resist it. We're going to resist it by standing on the word of God. Stand on the word. When there's no special manifestation, and there will be tonight, and when there's no special manifestation in operation, thank God we can come back to the word. We can stand on the word of God. Hallelujah. And we know that the word does not change. It is persisting against every lie and deception of the devil. And we say, no, Jesus took that disease. Jesus took that sickness. Jesus took that infirmity. I'm not taking it. He took it, and by his wounds, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. See, again, faith goes by what God says, not by what it sees and what it feels or what the doctor says. It goes by what Dr. Jesus says. Can you say amen? And he said, you are healed. Hallelujah. Say, I'm healed. Now you got to learn to stand in the word of God by faith. Move on the word, and you'll have a move of God in your body, in your life. And it can be instantaneous. Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. We can have instantaneous things happen right now. Right now, because of faith in the word. Do you believe the word? Yes. Matthew 8:17. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Let's say it together. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He took, Jesus took my infirmities All sickness. Therefore, I'm not taking it. I'm not going to take it anymore. In the name of Jesus, I will not take this. By his wounds, I am healed. I am healed. I'm healed. It's forever settled. It's consistent. It's persistent. It's steady. It's the same all the time. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet. Let's thank God, thank God, thank God. Come on. You just put healing medicine in your mouth. You just put healing medicine in your mouth. Glory be to God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.